Welcome to Gila Members Community Radio. Next up, we'll be back to the garden, conversations with Jean Eisenhower and her guests on all things green and growing in and around your house. This is GMCR, a voice and a choice for Southwest New Mexico.
Plant your seeds, see what you can do to grow your needs. Tend your gardens, touch the earth. Thank the stars above for all your work. Seasons of plenty, seasons of change, also abundantly here.
Hello and welcome to Back to the Garden. I'm your host, Jean Eisenhower. This is a show for gardeners, beginning gardeners, and all those who think it would be a good idea to have a garden. Today, we'll be talking with Greg Renfro, who studied forestry in college, first heard about permaculture back in the late 70s, implemented those nature-based principles in Missouri, then moved here to New Mexico and had to relearn some of what had been basic garden wisdom in a wet state that just doesn't work in the desert. And that's true for a lot of people who've moved here from somewhere else. They arrive and begin maybe to pour wood ashes on their garden and wonder what's wrong. So on today's show, we'll talk about what's going on in the garden this week, particularly water management and weeding, and what someone might do to start a garden now. Yes, midsummer, to enjoy late summer, fall, and winter produce. We'll talk about improving our local soils, not with wood ash, and other ways that desert gardeners, gardening differs from places like Missouri that have lots of water and acid soils, and hopefully lots more to inspire you to get back to your own garden if you're not already there. So let's get started. Greg, thank you for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I mentioned permaculture in my introduction, and I thought I'd give folks a quick definition of it. This is Bill Mollison's definition, and he's the one who introduced, kind of put together this idea based on nature with David, his last name is escaping me right now. It'll come to me later. He put this together way back in the 70s and introduced it to the world, took this around the world. He said that permaculture is the conscious design and maintenance of agriculturally productive ecosystems, which have diversity, stability, and resilience, the resilience of natural ecosystems. It's the harmonious integration of landscape and people, providing their food, energy, shelter, and other material and non-material needs in a sustainable way. And he went on to say that without permanent agriculture, there's no possibility of a stable social order. So Bill Mollison inspired a lot of people with that over the decades. And so you heard about this in the late 70s. What excited you about that?
When it came to my attention, it was late 79, early 1980. I was just about ready to embark on a piece of property, build a house, start a garden for the rest of my life. I was living on the bank of the Missouri River, and this person showed up, bought 200 acres of land right adjacent to my property, and handed me this book by Bill Mollison, and it made so much sense at the time. I needed something to guide me, and so anyway, she was going to have a permaculture community. And she had a conference for a week, and I was doing a bakery at the time and in a restaurant, and she had me do some cooking for it. That's how I got involved. Anyway, it turned out to be sort of a failure in a way, because at the end of the week, it looked like there were going to be places for people to live, homes going on her 200 acres, and she just kind of decided she didn't want to have that happen right now.
Just got a little nervous. That's a lot to give away to other people you don't
know. That's right, yeah. So anyway, but what happened for me was I bought this property adjacent to hers along a creek, and she was warm and friendly to me and let me do gardening on her bottom land. So I started taking this practice and using it on my own property, putting mm-hmm. in fruit trees, built my house with a solar aspect, and had thoughts of terrace gardens and fruit trees and berries and, you know, right outside my back door.
Yeah.
Made this permaculture thing made so much sense to me. Why would anybody do anything else?
Right. Totally.
So anyway, I got involved in that, and it still makes sense to me even today.
Mm-hmm. And so you had permaculture. I know often. Oh, there's so much. It's basically everything. It's all the complexity of nature, the interrelatedness, everything needing everything, everything being connected to everything, and trying to apply those sorts of specific wisdom in our own backyards.
Yeah, that's the overall basis, which is pretty broad and pretty awesome.
And
but yet, if you can break it down into a little bit at a time, right out your door, starting mm-hmm. with what you can handle and move on from there.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, what you can handle. Bill Mollison often said to make the least amount of change as possible for the greatest effect. And a small change in exactly the right place can make a huge difference.
Right.
Yeah. You can just lower or raise an elevation of a particular spot a few inches and dramatically change things like water problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that another one of the principles has to do with zones, and you happen to mention your back door. So,
well, that's what struck me about it was it's taking, you know, not only your garden, but your house, your living area, and making it a very livable area. And then what are you going to do when you walk out your kitchen door? What's going to be there? Well, you want to think about things you use every day.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be like your zone one area.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to walk long ways. You have your herbs, mm-hmm. your lettuces, and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, so daily harvest is right outside the kitchen door.
Right.
And then things that you need to harvest maybe once a year, they're at the furthest point.
Yeah, even maybe less off. Maybe your tomato plants could be a little further because they're mm-hmm. coming. So you could do a zone two type of thing with things you're not so frequenting.
Mm-hmm.
And then move on to a zone three with stuff like your berry bushes and
right.
that you will be only harvesting once a year.
Right.
Fruit trees go a little bit further, you know, that kind of thing. When I bought the property, I put in about 100 fruit trees, 50 different kind of berry bushes. This was back in the, you know, mid-80s, so
mm-hmm.
I only had that property till 90, so somebody's been living on that really nicely. In fact, an old neighbor of mine told me that it was purchased by a woman who's now running a nursery off of it, selling plants and doing truck gardening.
Uh-huh. Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, the zones that we just discussed, of course, is only a small part of this. Another part is being able to produce whatever you're going to need. So if you know you need, for instance, mulch, something simple like mulch or manure and compost, that you try to design a system on your property that provides you all those things so you can minimize the amount of things that you bring from outside.
Yeah, right. If, like you know, if you eat every day,
mm-hmm.
which most people I've noticed do. You have your kitchen scraps, and you can use them in compost and make a small compost pile
mm-hmm.
in a small area. And if you do it right, and there are ways to do it wrong,
yeah.
But if you do it right, it won't be too bad to use for your garden in 6 months to a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe a few chickens on the site might not hurt either. They love kitchen scraps, and they help you break it down faster, and they also give you eggs back in return.
Yeah, so that
that's
enriches
another thing about permaculture. It's trying to make something happen for something, for some kind of a benefit.
Right, and in nature, of course, it's not just plants. There's animals in there doing their work too. Now, permaculture,
insects,
right?
Yeah.
Got to work with them all.
Mealybugs.
We don't know exactly how much we want to cooperate with them, but you mentioned getting huge rolls of straw from a neighbor. Permaculture involves trading with neighbors.
Right.
And so he had this extra. It was of no value to him, but you were able to turn that into tremendous value for yourself, right?
Right. Well, back in Missouri, they baled hay in big round bales,
mm-hmm.
and about 18 regular bales go into that. So I found this guy that had a bunch stored behind his shop, behind his barn, and he had been there for years, and he wanted to get rid of them, so he gave them to me. All I had to do was roll them up on my truck and take them out. So I'd take them out to the field next to the creek, and I'd just unroll them like a carpet.
Mm-hmm.
A couple different layers, you know, we'll go one way and then come back the other way, sort of like a weave.
Mm-hmm.
And then let it sit for the winter, and then in spring you can come out there and just move that stuff to the side and plant stuff.
Poke
so what I did is I just
mm-hmm.
put squash, pumpkins, all along the river, little creek is where I lived.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was down there, I could just water them.
Right, and then the thickness
they did really well.
Of the straw created a mulch that weeds just couldn't get through.
Yeah, it was so thick that the weeds that were typically there, the goldenrods and all those big weeds, couldn't come through too easy.
Mm-hmm.
Because so the squash and pumpkins got a head start.
Right.
Just sort of a principles and philosophies of thinking a little bit.
Uh-huh. And now, about 12 years ago, you moved here to Silver City, and you had to learn a little bit of different kind of gardening. You want to talk about that a bit?
Well, yeah. First of all, we don't have like 46 inches of rain here every year. So we had to apply different principles, and I bought this place here in town that had a really nice workable garden backyard, except it just wasn't workable. It was like clay. So it took a while to build the soil up. It took many loads of dirt, compost, bags of compost, you know, horse manure, to try to build mm-hmm. that up through the years.
Sand when you can get it to balance out that clay.
Yeah, work it all together, and it just takes a while. That's one thing I found out about moving here. Soil's pretty bad. Most people I've talked to have to build it up.
Yeah, but we prefer not to say it's bad. It just needs some adjusting and amending, right?
Yeah, really. It's not bad.
But that is the nature of deserts. You know, the nature of deserts is that not as much grows, and so there's less to decompose on top, and we have a lot right. less organic matter. So that's okay. We're planting our homes on it and building roads on a lot of it. But where we want a garden, then we just focus on those small areas and start trying to do what nature is going to be slow at in a desert. And what nature is slow at in a desert is adding organic material.
Mm-hmm.
And almost any problem you want to name, almost everything can be solved with or adding organic matter. So that means taking, you know, composting our kitchen scraps, seeking out manure, you know, even gathering leaves from somebody who might be putting them in a bag to, you know, throw away.
Yeah.
All that can be added to the soil.
I heard of a guy that keeps his coffee grounds in a bucket, 5-gallon mm-hmm. bucket, and then when it gets full, he just mixes it with some earth, and it's pretty good for your soil, too.
And I see people at the local coffee shops all the time coming in and walking out with a paint bucket full of coffee grounds, which the owners have agreed to give them for their compost piles. And I see that happening all over town. I'm really happy that people are making those sorts of agreements.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, through the years, you can build up your soil. And I'd say not really years, like a long time.
Well, you had a huge lot, though. You had a very large lot.
It was a pretty good-sized lot. And yeah. It took a lot of work.
So if people want to start small, it's not that big of an undertaking.
No. Yeah. And you can start small.
Mm-hmm.
And I suggest it. I think that you should not look at it's good to look at the whole thing as a picture, what mm-hmm. you want to do, but don't get like you have to do it all this year.
Right. And it's even a permaculture principle to start small. Do the least that you can for the biggest effect. So a small garden right outside the kitchen door would be the perfect place for anybody to start.
Right. And then it's important, too, to think about how your water runs.
Yes.
And what water we do get.
If you just tuned in, we're talking with Greg Renfro, plant science student, permaculture student, and both those studies going back to the late 70s. He's also a Silver City gardener and musician. And this is Back to the Garden. I'm Jean Eisenhower. We're talking about fixing the New Mexico soil so that we can garden in them.
Right. And what we were talking about was building your soil.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to think about your water and the way to get it, because we only get 12-13 inches of rain, hopefully.
Right. And our tap water is just not the perfect water. Plants would just as soon not have water with chlorine in it,
right.
for one thing.
And I've noticed that having a filter in your water system outside is really important for gardening around here.
Right, and they do make special kinds of filters. They're not what you use in the kitchen for your tap water. They're different. They filter out fewer things and different things.
It really does help. Nothing better than rain, though.
Right, and they can filter enough water for an entire growing season for an average yard. So they're not that expensive to use. But you mentioned rainwater.
Well, I was just thinking people that are starting out, think about how their water comes to their property. And usually the first way is off your roof, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest part of the property usually is the roof. So you have to capture that. And a good way to do that is with gutters and downspouts and some kind of a tank system.
Mm-hmm.
Or pond.
Right.
Anything that can carry water for a little bit longer than the rain, because it otherwise it just soaks in and runs off.
Right, and we have specialists in town who will probably have on the show soon who talk about storing water in the soil, which you can also do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we've got both a tank, and the overflow from the tank then goes into a swale, which is a very important device.
Yeah.
Let me describe swales here. Swales are depressions in the soil. And sometimes they're slight depressions, sometimes they're huge. I've seen real radical swales, but usually slight, with a small or large berm at the downhill side that keeps the water in the one place or keeps it moving very, very slowly downhill slightly. And sometimes the swales are long, almost like a diversion ditch, helping the water travel slowly across the land so that it has time to sink in. And of course, you design the swales for where you want them to be, with the limitation to the topography. So there's an art and a craft to creating swales on the landscape. Sometimes they're short. They're scattered across the landscape like fish scales, with the low point being where the water will then gather. And the swales will not only gather water, but they'll gather debris and manure and, I mean, debris like plant debris that will add organic matter. And it makes it a very rich little place right there in the swale or in the low point on, say, a fish scale swale. And they all have the same purpose, to keep water from traveling wherever it wants to, maybe causing problems, maybe flooding plants that don't tolerate it, maybe watering weeds when you'd rather be watering a tree. And they're at best a subtle refinement of the landscape that to have the most positive effect of all this rainwater that's falling on your house, yard, and garden, which a lot of people just allow to flow off their property as fast as they can into the gutter.
That's what most people do. And it's get it out of here, get it away from me right now.
And that's kind of a European model that came to the United States, but parts of the United States don't have that kind of water. They don't have, they don't need to get rid of it. They need to save it.
Anyway, so looking at your water situation is the second, you know, most important thing, and how to get it and keep it as long as you can.
Right.
Slow it down, you know, make it work for you.
Yeah.
And then it's free.
It's free and it's really good. It's filled with nitrogen.
Yeah, well, right now it's free. It's really sweet. Anyway, another thing is your pH of your soil is important to look at. And you can go to the hardware store and get a kit, which will give you an idea of soil sample. Where you stand somewhere in the relative scale of pH.
And between 5 and 7 is ideal. A lot of us have a hard time keeping it even, you know, at 7.8 or 7.5, but we can still garden with that.
Right.
But we just keep adding the right materials to bring it down.
Then, of course, your nutrients, your blood meals and your bone meal and your
nitrogen,
sulfur or whatever you need to add. You know, it's all available. And just make yourself understand it and you'll understand it.
And it's not too hard. There's three main chemicals,
really.
The nitrogen, phosphorus, and potash being the three main ones.
And then the important long-term thing about permaculture is to make it work for you in the long term too, you know, to benefit plants, benefit each other. Some plants benefit other plants better than other plants. So you can work with those combinations.
Right.
You know, if you have tall plants, put some shorter plants into shade from the weeds. You know, shade the weeds, kill off the weeds.
Right, right.
That's what I was doing this morning, was weeding.
It was a
wonderful day to weed. We've had so much water and picking the weeds out of the garden, it was time.
Right. And we'd love to be able to work with as many weeds as we can. A lot of them are very good and beneficial, like they can break up rocky soils and shade the ground, as you said, and provide flowers for the bees. And they do a lot of good, sometimes right out in the front of your property where your neighbors think that it ought to be all cleared off. It's okay to pull weeds. And
yeah, weeds have a bad name, really.
Yeah. There's a lot of good in them, though. A lot of them are edible.
That's right.
We were just talking about that this morning. So when we weed, it's nice to consider a few things to leave in, or if you do pull them out, to figure out if there's a use for them.
Right. I don't like to pull anything that's flowering.
Right.
I have this aversion to that. So
I do
too. If it seems to be a weed and it's flowering, it's a flower.
Yeah.
And I leave it and then, you know, work with it later. I just don't want some seeds in my garden at the end, so I'll pull it before it gets to the seed point. But even weeds have beautiful flowers.
Right. And then so when you pull them out, then they become compost.
If they're before the mm-hmm. seeds.
Right.
Otherwise, I just throw them in the trash.
And sometimes, yeah. Yeah, if they've got seeds in them, theoretically, they ought to be killed in the high heat of the compost pit, but they don't always. So a lot of people just throw them out. I sometimes will pick my weed flowers and make bouquets out of them.
Sure.
I'm not against that. And then there's weeds that you can eat. I absolutely love the amaranth that grows around here, especially if you catch it when it's like 4 inches tall.
Yeah.
You've got enough of a plant, and it hasn't started bolting yet. And it's extremely nutritious. When I was in Cochise County, we called that Apache spinach. And there were people that I knew who would find fields of it. And they would drive their cars, and they would fill up their trunks with it. And then they'd have a day of cleaning it, blanching it, and drying it, and storing up a lot of greens for the winter.
That's that weed that grows up pretty tall and has sort of a green and reddish leaf.
And a very irritating seed head if it gets that far in its growth. But if you catch it when it's 4 inches tall, it is... and if it gets too tall, it doesn't taste good anymore. So you look for them when they're 4 to 6 inches tall.
Yeah.
And another weed that we can eat, we were talking about hollyhocks. Those leaves, they look a lot like mallow leaves, and they are a little bit spiny, like mallows are, but they're nice and big, so they're easy to clean, and you just rub them between your hands underwater and brush that off, and you've got salad greens.
I just want everybody to know that anybody can garden. You know, take some seeds and put them outside and watch them grow. And I encourage people to spend a little bit more time outside watching things grow. And to me, that's why I garden. It's for peace of mind and just, you know, feeling the earth.
Right. Well, let's get to a calendar. We've got a few events coming up soon. First, the farmers markets. Gardeners can find plant starts to help folks get a quick start on midsummer plantings. The Membrus Valley Farmers Market is open on Thursdays from 3:30 to 5:30 at the San Lorenzo Senior Center, and the Silver City Farmers Market opens Saturday morning from 8:30 to noon. And for those taking a look at the big picture of their gardens, I'll be offering 2 free classes this coming week on designing the infrastructure of your garden. That is, planning to make sure that all the energies of sun, wind, rainwater, cold airflow, existing plants, animals, buildings, and human activities are all going to work together harmoniously for you and not against you, hopefully turning any potential frustration or even failure into easier success. The free classes will be presented at the Silver City Food Co-op Community Room on Tuesday, August 6th from 11 to noon, and Thursday, August 8th from noon to 1. The class is called Garden Design, and you're welcome to bring a sack lunch if that fits your schedule best. And for the flower lovers among us, as well as those who just want to support the station, please remember the Flower Fiesta on Saturday, August 24th. It's a fundraiser for GMCR, and there are many ways to be involved. One is to donate a bouquet for auction made of flowers you grew. Another is to simply donate a few pretty flowers you've grown for sale or use in the mini classes. Then you can also come vote on your favorite bouquet for $1 per vote. Buy a flower, win a bouquet with your bid in the auction, or take a mini class, and all the funds will support GMCR. And the flowers will support you with their beauty and elegance all week long. Oh, wishing you had more gardening support, especially with organic techniques. The High Desert Organic Gardeners, that's High Dog for short, meets the last Tuesday of every month, so you have a few weeks to plan to be there. It'll be Tuesday, August 27th at 6:30 at the Volunteer Center's new Community Commons Room. That's a new location. And so finally, our time is up. Greg Renfro, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us here today on Back to the Garden.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Jean. Appreciate your show and everything.
Oh, thank you. And thanks to Kyle for his studio assistance. And all you listeners, I hope you heard at least a couple bits of information that will be useful to you. Thanks to all you gardeners in this Gila Membrus region for your loving devotion to the land and sustainability, and for setting the good examples you do, inspiring us all. Please tune in next week and the next as we talk to gardeners throughout the Members and Gila Valleys and Silver City, gardeners with different specialties in planting, water harvesting, pruning, native species, and everything to do with gardens. Until next week, I'm wishing you peaceful, healing moments in your garden. I'm Jean Eisenhower. thanking you for listening to Back to the Garden.
This is Gila Members Community Radio. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to Back to the Garden with Gene Eisenhower. Join us again next Thursday at 4:30 for more conversation on all things green and growing. This is what community radio looks like. This is GMCR.
Plant your seeds. See what you can do to grow your needs. Tend your gardens. Touch the earth. Thank the stars above for all your work. Seasons of plenty, seasons of change, also abundantly here.